Yo, Charlamagne the God here, dual citizen of Wakanda and Monk's Corner, South Carolina. And right now you're listening to the Gossiping Heifers.
Let's go!
Turn it up.
Sound like all my aunties, all my cousins, all my homegirls, a bunch of gossiping heifers.
Hey.
We're back. It is time to bring on our special guest. Now, we have been knowing this young lady for a little over a year. Met on Instagram, met her in person at the 50 Cent Tycoon Comedy Weekend, where she was part of that production, along with traveling with D-Lay. Y'all know crazy ass D-Lay. Please welcome in the building, Miss Andromeda.
Andromeda!
Girl, you don't beat that face, girl. Shut your mouth. She got that face beat, boom.
I need a little something.
First of all, I want to tell Drama how ignorant she is for that Rose skit. That shit was funny. You made me be like, damn, bitch, you ain't played with yours in a minute.
Yes, you remind you it's in your bottom drawer.
Yeah, your and you know what the sad thing? I pulled it out, charged it, and went to sleep. Ain't that sad?
Let me, first of all, before we even start, let me just ask y'all, who put my name on Facebook like that? Who posted the Facebook post?
Well, it was probably me. So did I misspell a name over here? Okay, my bad.
I don't think she like Andromeda being.
Who is Andromeda? Who is that?
Girl, forgive me.
She said,
okay?
Who
is that shit? Okay.
You know Rocky be on them edibles. So I just assume.
Rocky ain't got nothing to do with that. You know Rocky ain't got nothing to do with that shit. I would have said drama.
Rocky be high as giraffe coochie. So I just knew it was Rocky that did.
Whenever you see posts and anything for the helpers is Michelle.
So that's my bad.
And you know what? And I'm gonna tell you something. It don't be edibles. I'm lazy as fuck. I like to do my speak text. And then I go sing and I look. I'm like, oh, bitches, typos all through that motherfucker.
It's too late now. Facebook post. I said, oh, they got a new bitch they interviewing. Who is this?
I use my speak text all day, every day.
Yeah, so my bad, because, honey, I promise you, between working this, the job, and trying to get this meet and greet together, it's a bit much, but we're going to make it. But I'm glad that you are here, girl. I know your ass been busy.
Listen, busy.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So, let folks know, I want to know, first of all, before we even get into the career and everything else, what was your upbringing like? Because I have to say, personally, you are a very unique individual. You got multi-skills. You do hair, you do production, you do comedy.
Karate,
stunt double shit, all that shit. So please tell me, what was the upbringing of Andromeda?
So I had a very free upbringing. My mom was pretty much like, if you want to do it, just let me know how much it costs and where I need to drop you off at. So that's pretty much how my life went. It was whatever you can do to make you get out this house and leave me alone. So I was in private school for most of my schooling, private and magnet school. I finally went to public school for high school because I begged to go to public school. My mama did not want me to go. Then I got pregnant, so I bet she regret that. But anyway.
That's why you want your ass in public school.
Just take my ass.
All that salt is running free.
Now, went to that public school and got that public penis put on me.
Okay. Public enemy penis.
Okay. But I'm a classically trained ballet dancer of over 15 years. That's where I started in ballet when I was 3. And then I started taking tap, jazz, African dance, modern dance. Then I transitioned into acting. And I've cheered professionally for 2 years. I've done everything. I was an all-star student scholar in school. I was an all-American scholar. So I was an all-American scholar 3 years in a row. I'm a state track runner. I went to state in the 300 hurdles and the 100 hurdles.
What's your little short ass?
Yes, ma'am.
You go, girl.
If I could get up, I'd go get my medals and show y'all all my little stuff.
I believe you.
I do too.
So I I did everything. Basketball, tennis. I tried to play soccer, but my track coach made me stop playing soccer because it interfered with track and he didn't want me to get hurt. He needed my knees to work and my shins not to be fucked off. So he made me quit.
That part.
I was the co-captain of the dance line in our high school band. I was a debutante. I did so much. Now that I'm naming all this stuff, I did. My mama should have been crazy by the time I finished driving out all her game.
I don't say no cheerleader was in there. No
pop. I was a cheerleader in high school. Yes, ma'am.
You give me cheerleader vibes. That's why I had to ask.
I was in college also at Augusta State University. I was a cheerleader in college.
Okay.
Yeah, man, I did a lot of stuff. I've done everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's good that you're so well-rounded because... And blessed because you already know most parents are like, okay, I want to do ballet, I want to do acting, I want to do it. They're like, look, make up your mind on what you want to do.
Oh, but get out of my face.
You were blessed enough to cover everything.
I gave my mama the blues. I tried to play violin. My mama went and bought that violin and I played it for 2 weeks and was like, bro, I don't even like it. My mama was livid by that violin.
That sounds like me with guitar. I wanted to learn guitar, but then I was like, But we didn't get to the part where mama bought the guitar.
Right.
See, my mama was this parent. If you say you want to do it, I'm finna get you what you need because I don't want to have to worry about it later. Go on, get this so you can do what you need to do. So exactly. You got that violin, and in my mind, I was in 2 weeks, I was gonna be like, that's what I thought was gonna happen. But when we got there and we wasn't even, they had us read music first. I'm like, man, come on, let's
get to it. Now we got it. The steps to this. Yeah, you know that's what's funny with a lot of folks because you know I always talk about when I entered cosmetology, and you probably will understand where I'm coming from, drama being that you do hair. The classroom was wall to wall. We did not even have enough seats. When them hoes realized they had to do some book work, oh, that class went down quick.
Oh,
like, okay. they really thought they was gonna come in and just do hair and nails.
Oh no, I was killing them in that classroom. My grades was through the roof. That's why I shine, baby.
I love cosmetology, and that's something I really wanted to do. So my grades was always good in there, and I passed my test on the first go. I knew so many girls that had to do it 2 and 3 times. But they really came in thinking, oh, we're just going to play with hair and nails. And when they realized within the first 3 days,
actual work,
oh, we got to read book and go through sanitation and diseases first, I'm out. They dropped out like flies. We had plenty of seats left.
Now, that's why I wanted to ask you, Kadrama, because you also do hair. You're a hairstylist, and so is this heifer. And I know people alone, just from what I observe of Rocky, they ask her why she does stand-up. And I think most hairstylists are, like, secret-in-the-making comedians.
We're not normal people.
Because so, you guys have an insight.
Here's the thing. My clients will tell you. I run a silent operation. We're not finna be in. I don't want to know your business. I don't care nothing about your job. I don't care nothing about your kids. And it's not a slight against people's lives. I don't want you to ever feel like you my friend and you can ask me for a discount. Because when people get friendly and they get to saying, girl,
that part.
Ooh, I ain't got enough hours. You know, this job really been wearing me down. And you start that way. Then it turn into, yeah, little Jerome, now he want to play basketball. Don't feed so high. Then the next time they come in, girl, they done cut my stamps. Then the next time is, I know normally it costs this much, but this time I really don't have that much. I really can't afford it.
Well, why the hell are you in here?
Baby, let me take this cape off you, because you finna go.
Why are you in here?
Because your bills ain't my... I've never had it happen. I've seen it happen to other people, so that let me know. Don't discuss your life with me. Now, if you want to talk about what's going on in this salon, great. But your life, I don't care.
I definitely like to keep my conversation simple. And Michelle will tell you I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I don't really invite them to events because I don't want you thinking we friends. I don't want you thinking we homegirls. So when we have conversations, it's either about a movie, what we've done. You don't need to know my personal shit. I don't need to know about your personal shit. Just like I had a girl today, you know, God bless her. She fucked up for hours. You know what? Since you can't make it, you know that's a no cancellation fee. I charge you for not showing the fuck up.
I don't even take new clients right now. I haven't taken new clients in 2 years. And even before that, if you didn't know my client, I don't take off the street. Because people off the street, number one, they be trying to hustle and get over. Number two, when you finish, I don't like it, but you don't like it because you don't want to pay no money for it. That so part. Unless somebody referred you to me, my clients will let you know.
Ooh, oh, girl, that's me.
You can't just walk off the street and go to her chair.
That's me.
Your body is very selective on whatever clientele she deals with because she know. Knowing my sister, I know her tolerance level. We pretty much have the same tolerance level. And when it comes to somebody being extra, when you advise them and consult them on their hand, but they do some other shit and come back expecting.
I got one that I'm not letting coming back because she get on my nerve and this bitch got an attitude on how I run my business. Well, then take your ass somewhere else because these are my rules. This is how I run my salon. Mm-hmm. But I do not, my referrals have to come from my customers. And I tell my customers, don't send me no extra bitch. You know how I am.
On the topic of they go do something on their own, like you want to go try to color your own hair and now you messed up. I tell them all the time, I charge double for my trouble.
That part you know.
You can let me do your color for $100 or you can go try to do it yourself and I'm going to charge you double for my trouble.
Yeah, because you got to go back and fix it.
Yeah.
I got to do color correction.
Now, you know what I don't do? I know you get this. Can I bring this color in? No.
No. I need professional product. I don't want your Clairol. I don't want what you bought out of Sally because Sally is not a professional product. That product is full of aluminum, just like that Clairol you buy at a Walmart. No, you cannot bring that to this salon. I will go always Armstrong McCall and get what I need for you.
Girl, that's why I go Armstrong McCall and we got RDA that I go in between them because RDA don't carry Paul Mitchell and I love that silk Paul Mitchell for which it helps protect the hair when I'm doing a lot of silk wraps.
The clear with the green top. The super skinny.
Super skinny, thank you. I don't know why. So I keep that because that protects the hair. But my thing is, you know, I get on my black women because when I first got here, I had to work somewhere like JCPenney to rebuild my clientele from Memphis. So they don't never come up there. Can I bring some? But the moment your ass go on your own,
yep.
Then they want to start bringing shit. You didn't do that at JCPenney, so you're not gonna do it here.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I mean, that's smart for you not to get too. And that's I think across the board. When you get a little too tight knit with people that, you know, actually either support you or purchase your services, because then they feel that they're entitled.
Yeah, I don't need to come to your wedding. I don't need to come to your birthday.
Yeah, I'm like, dude,
if I'm not doing your hair at your wedding, I don't need to be there.
Exactly.
And I ain't gonna be there.
That part.
So being a mom, and I already know the struggles of just being a mom, you wear many hats. How are you able to manage everything that you need to and keep home?
So, thank God, I have some amazing friends that stand in the gap for me because my son, daddy, bare minimum. If that court ain't said it, he ain't doing it. And even then, he might not do that either. So, that's the bare minimum. So, I have great friends that will stand in for me if I have a show. When I was at Tycoon, my homegirl was here. Taking to school, picking up from school, making lunch, cooking dinner. She stays at my place with my son, so I don't have to worry about him transporting, shuffling back and forth. Like, very accommodating. I have amazing friends in my
corner. That's good.
That's a blessing, because I promise you, if it wasn't for my family, I wouldn't be able to do the things I was able to do, because people just don't realize, or you can just take them to a center, enroll them in school. Yeah, but that still takes money and time, because when they can't drive, I'm responsible for transporting them back and forth.
And Michelle, no, I was very funny about my nephew. I don't like that bitch. She can't keep him. I don't like her vibe. She can't keep my baby. And you do have to be very careful about who's watching your children.
I'm very careful. Like, so if you I got don't a like boyfriend, you. My son don't go where your boyfriend is. You watch my baby here. And your boyfriend can come here because he don't even know where I live.
That part, and that's very important. Like I said, a lot of women just don't take it as seriously as, you know, we do, but hopefully we'll get that all on the same accord. So now that you have comedy, it seems like that's your main forecast right about now, because I know you do acting and you do comedy. That's, you know, my personal observation. That's what I've seen you promote the most. Are you passionate about both? Or, you know, do you think there's more acting you would like to do or more stand-up?
Okay, so you're saying I still do hair. I just don't post it anymore because I don't want no more clients. Like, I'm trying to phase out of that. So I'm still actively in the salon on the weekend. I'm not posting it because why post it? I don't need you to see what I'm doing because I ain't going to do it for you.
Right,
that part.
So ain't no point. And as far as acting, so it's before I still was like, I love acting. But now it's hard for me to choose because acting I've been doing since I was 5. I did my first commercial when I was 5 years old. I've worked with so many amazing people. Columbus Short, Tommy Ford, Darren Henson, Pooch Hall, just so many amazing people I've worked with. So that's where my roots are. But comedy has kind of become my branches to my tree, like getting me to do other things, see other places, work with other people. So I can't. It's right now, it's hard for me to choose between the two of those because they both, like, I'm so happy doing both. Yeah. But I will say comedy gives me a rush that acting does not. I take acting, comedy is more lighthearted. I think comedy is my fun part of my life, and acting is my work part of my life that I also enjoy going to work to do. Okay. So comedy is my recess in my school.
Yeah. Okay, well, I like recess better. But that's the thing about it, because you have, I don't know, because I have, from my personal standpoint, like I said, I love comedy, even though I'm not a comedian. I just love the comedy culture. And when you have an opportunity like yourself, I got to hear your D-Lay story, number one, how you ended up working with D-Lay, because we ran across him on social media. And actually, I think that's how we start really first hearing about Drama, because we saw him mention her and talk about her all the time. So please share with us your D-Lay story on how you two linked up.
Okay, so I met D-Lay technically in the pandemic, but prior to that, I was working with somebody that D-Lay knows outside. Well, I don't think they still friends, but I was working with somebody D-Lay already knew. So when the pandemic hit, all we had to be able to do was just sit on social media. So I had never met D-Lay, but I had, you know, of course, seen his stand up. I had heard about him. I had seen him on the podcast that he was on at that time. So he would do lives all day, every day. Sometimes he'd be live for like 6 hours at night. And one night he came me up and he was like, why do I know your name? And I told him how. He was like, oh, yeah, man, I heard so much about you. I heard about the work you do, how organized, how you help, and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yeah. He was like, so we're just vibing on a live and we were just bouncing back and forth. And just my personality, just cracking jokes, having a good time. And it just kept going. Like, people started to love to see us go back and forth on Instagram. So he would bring me up more. He was like, man, people keep asking me to, like, bring you up on the live. So we would make it like a nightly thing where he'd bring me in. We would play games. Like, I would rate men that he would bring in live. And, like, just have a good time. So when things started opening back up, he was like, I told him, you know, I just started stand-up, like, 2 months before the pandemic. So he was like, you want to go on the road with me? You want to do some shows? And I was like, yeah. Like, I've never done like a real show, you know, like outside of like a lounge or something like that. I was like, I won a competition. Like, my first show was my first time ever doing stand-up. My second show was a competition and I won.
Okay.
So I really went fast forward. It was like 10 comedians on that show. It was like an improv comedy thing. And I won. I won audience favorite, and really the comedians thought I was dope too. So that was my second time doing comedy, shut down. That was it. So my third time doing comedy was at the Improv with D-Lay. Mm. Like, I went from a open mic at a lounge to an improv in 3 shows. So I recognize my journey has been very unorthodox. That is not how this goes.
No, you know what that's called? That's called having God's favor. So you just, it ain't gonna happen for everybody that way.
Yeah.
But when you have favor and God looking out for you, shit happens like that.
Well, yeah, the audience members just asked if that's a therapy for you.
No, therapy, comedy. Yeah. It's therapy for the people that I do comedy for other people. I don't do comedy for me. I'm not one of those people who come from a depressed place in my comedy. I recognize and, so, you know, I empathize with those who that is their therapy. But no, comedy is not therapy for me. Comedy is my fun. Comedy is my recess. Comedy is where I, like, have a good time. I do comedy for other people. It serves me when I hear people laugh. It serves me when people say after the show, man, I needed that. It serves me when they say, man, you're so funny. But no, I don't, it's not something that I feel like, oh, I feel so much better. Like, I'm not coming from a place of pain or hurt in my comedy.
I was going to say that. I think that's why a lot of people do bump heads with a lot of comedians, because a lot of them do have that dark passenger, darkness to them. And they do use comedy as a therapy.
An outlet,
right. Yeah, and a therapy. As an outlet of therapy. But, you know, and that's probably why you get along with so many folks that don't have so much problems bumping heads with just, you know, people on a day-to-day basis, because you don't have that darkness in you. You're like, no, I had a happy childhood, bitch. I just like doing this. You know, I enjoy it.
No, I'm glad I did not start stand-up when people were trying to convince me to start stand-up back in the early to mid 2000s. I'm so glad I didn't, because that would have been from a place of hurt and pain. And I can honestly say my first time doing stand-up, there was still some hurt there. So it was funny, but my comedy wasn't like how it is now. So the progression of my healing has helped in my comedy. And again, I can't say comedy was therapy, because I wasn't doing comedy all that time. I was healing, and then I came back to the stage.
So but you don't have to have a regular healing, like, you know, maybe a breakup or a marriage or something.
Yeah.
You got comedians that went through some dark shit all their life. And they just dark people. You're not a dark person.
No, I have some dark humor jokes that I tell. But no, generally, no, I don't. There's nothing wrong with using comedy as therapy, because if it's a release for you to get things off your chest and off your mind and you don't want to go to therapy, I still think you should. But if comedy helps you, and because some people can use comedy and it is truly therapeutic, I just hope that those that do use comedy for their therapy are doing the self-work at home also, so that when they're alone and not on stage, because we hear about comedians that commit suicide, you know, it happens. So I just want those same comedians to reach out, you know, and I know it can be difficult, because I've been in a low place. I was in a low place in 2020. So I understand and I get it. Thankfully, those same friends that helped me with my son, I was able to reach out and be like, I literally called my best friend one day and she answered the phone and I was like, I just need to cry. And she was like, okay. And I just, I snotted, boo-hooed, sweat, everything. And then she was like, do you want to talk? And I was like, nope, I do want to talk, but I just needed to cry real quick.
Yeah, get out.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to cry. I'm not a person, when I'm that feeling that bad, I don't want to cry by myself.
Oh, I do. I cry by myself.
When you're that low, your thoughts go low too. So I knew that if I cry by myself, I've never been suicidal, but I also didn't want to put myself in a place where I can sink lower into what I was in. And just for me, it doesn't work for everybody, but for me, letting her hear me cry and hear my hurt, it helped, because now I know. At least somebody knows to check on me now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I needed. I wasn't suicidal, but I did need somebody to call and be like, hey, girl.
You all right?
Over there? Like, did you bathe? You brush your teeth?
Yeah.
Like, I needed that part of it. I didn't want to kill myself. Just make sure I'm over here. My hygiene, nigga. Make sure my shit together.
Right. And sometimes, I mean, regardless on whatever profession you're in, everybody does need an outlet, because life will throw its twists and turns at your ass at the blue. And you're like, okay, now I'm in a new position in a mental state. How am I going to switch up and handle this and try to get back to what I was trying to do?
See, I was in a court battle where my ex-husband
sat in court and said I was an unfit mother.
Oh, Lord.
Like, oh, yes. Thank God for the judge who was like, what? Like, she was
this
like,
little, this little heifer look like she fine. What are you talking about?
Well, no, it was my social media. It was my friends that are like, she is amazing. It's strangers that were like, she is amazing as a man. And one thing about me, baby, you can call me a lot of things, but I'm an amazing fucking mother.
No, I've witnessed being on a DM call, you running errands and getting to take care of your baby.
I'm intentionally an amazing mother, because I had a mother that, through all her flaws, my mama was on her shit when it came to me. Now, we used to go at it like cats and dogs and cuss each other down. But baby, that lady, when it came to clothes, shoes, stuff I needed at that school, anything I needed to pay for, baby, Gloria Jean was on it. She ain't played no game. So
Gloria Jean sound like Ernie's baby.
Baby Gloria Jean ain't play no games.
Yeah, because that's so, how mama was. I'm like, me and Michelle can't complain because we never wanted for nothing. And that's both ends when it comes to the mama and daddy.
Yeah.
We were main priority. So
my daddy is nurturing. My mama's not a nurturer. So that's why I say me and my mom butt heads because she ain't no nurturer. Well, she is now, but that she old. She's trying to get into heaven. I say that all the time.
You sound like me telling my...
But my father is the nurturer. My daddy is very loving. My daddy is very intentional with saying that he loves us. My brother, 55, baby, and over the summer in Atlanta, Georgia, my daddy got ready to go. And my daddy, you gonna kiss my daddy, 55 or 5. You gonna kiss that man. He don't care what, he'll tell you quick. And my daddy introduced my brother. This my baby right here, 55 years old. This my baby.
So daddy still do that to me. Michelle be like, why you call that old heifer baby? But our dad is not emotional like boys. That.
My daddy still that way about his boys. All three of them.
Yeah, see, your daddy had no boys, thank God. But mama was the nurturer. Mama was the loving one. You need anything, baby. My daddy was the one you get on the go play in traffic. Goddamn, go fuck with your mama.
Oh no, Gloria Jean will cuss you from here to down the street to the church to the bowling alley and back to the house. Gloria Jean ain't had enough for you. Mm-hmm. Cuss you down. Gloria Jean had a little Rocky in her.
Did you say a little Rocky in her?
A little Rocky.
She was good, baby. Then God bless her, honey. God bless her.
And God bless drama, if that was the case.
No, let me tell you something. While she talking shit, she will tell you she's thankful about me being her son's auntie.
I am.
The one thing, I don't give a fuck if she may not have it or she looks like she don't have it, that child gonna be taken care of.
Yeah.
My nephew gonna be taken care of. Definitely. And that was the main one. She would say, look, if anything happens, please don't call his auntie.
Oh, please.
Because I'm coming to the school and everybody getting fucked up messing with mine.
That's Gloria Jean.
Yeah, play with mine is going to be a problem.
Now, you had a successful year last year, at least from my standpoint, because you went on tour. You was part of the Tycoon Comedy Weekend. I want to know what 2023 got to look out for when it comes to Miss Andromeda.
So, we've had a hiccup in 2020. I won't say much because it's other people's business, but we're in a bit of a holding pattern with the second leg of the tour.
Mm.
Nothing to do with 50. 50, right. You know.
Oh, I know 50 straight, baby. 50 got money.
Yeah, it's.
I got money.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and it's nothing like somebody being shady, nothing like that. It's. Life is happening for somebody that's in the overall bigger picture.
Right,
and we're respecting life and helping with the life that's happening. Right,
okay.
Now. Yeah. So it's nothing like nobody being shady. We just,
it'll rare. Come out. That's it, red and good.
It'll come out. And then people will be like, oh, damn. But it's not my business to tell. So
right. I respect that.
No, yeah. I mean, there are things that we cannot help, and hopefully
it's not delayed. Before somebody be like, what's going on with delay? It's not delayed.
Not delay too much about his business. Delay like a delay reminds me of Stephanie's business, just like Ali do.
Yeah, it's not the person's not about their business. They're just an integral part of the tour. They're 50's right hand, and it's just. Life is happening for them, so
yeah, things happen.
Yeah,
we're what they have is priority right now. We're a family, and I will say that on our tour, we are a family. Like when I got word, when all of us got word, it was like what we need to do. So I really love that because that's not, you don't really get that often to where everybody like, no, stop everything, stop it, and what do you need? So that's just, you know.
Yeah, just
we'll be back.
I mean, it's just life in general. And we hope and pray whatever the situation is that it pans out. Because I'm sure we already know that 50 about his business, and I'm sure whatever the situation is, it'll continue on once everything gets situated.
Yeah. But I'm at the Arlington Improv next week, Thursday through Sunday. I think that's like the 19th or 22nd. I don't remember the dates, but I'm with the Plastic Cup Boys, Kevin Hart's Plastic Cup Boys. So if you're in Arlington, Texas, come check me out.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about. Now, do you have any other film projects on the back of that? I know we saw you was working on a film a couple months back. You was doing all kind of Matrix shit. So I'm just trying to
see. Be coming out in February.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm waiting on it to come out because I have the, they sent me the fight scene because they were like, yo, this is wild. So I have it. So it's the same day the movie drop, I'm dropping just that clip because
I don't blame you.
Yeah, because I know that's a lot of work, a lot of patience, things that you got to be, you know, just in sync with to make sure that scene not only goes right, but nobody gets injured.
Oh, I had plenty. I don't know if y'all
know. Yeah, I was going to say, she bruised the hell up.
Yeah, I posted the pictures. That scene told me I'd frame. But I had a lot of fun. And it didn't hurt in the scene. It didn't hurt until the next day.
Of course, that's how I always did when it settled in. You'd be like, damn, where does bruise come from? Then you got to get an ice pack and all that shit, you know.
Trust me. Now, do you plan on launching, because I know you had mentioned before, launching the podcast, because I know with your schedule and everything, you already got on your agenda. Do you think you'd be able to do something like that this year?
So I already had one in the pandemic, and it's still up, Gumbo, the podcast. It's still up, the old episodes, and I interviewed some of your favorite comedians. So I am going to start it back, because actually, two of the guests was like, please do it again, and I want to come back, because it was a lot of fun. So I'm going to start it back, but I want to start it back in person. So.
Oh, okay. Sit down.
Yep. I want to do it in person instead of IG Live.
Well, you know what? You definitely need to have your friend Lawrence in there so you can personally slap him. Because I was talking to him last night. He gonna,
sure did, girl.
And he going to talk, why y'all interviewing drama? She ain't nobody. Well, I really ain't nobody either, though. I'm like, don't we try to clean it up and say you ain't nobody because I'm snitching.
He's such a hater.
He's an ass. I love it, but he's an ass.
I just said, what? I'm not drama. What's your whole girl? You up here talking shit.
But you know, the whole time he's sitting there. I was like, you just enjoy being an asshole, don't you?
He does. He thrives on being an asshole. That's where he shines in life. You know, when you ain't good at nothing else, that's all you can be.
That part. Because we was talking to Nikki, for which Michelle's got her lined up for another interview. The lady with the toys, and he was looking at some kind of table. And I asked, does it come with the steps too? Because I'm like, how the hell he going to get on this table with whoever he making love to?
And I just want to say, Lawrence is multi-talented, because not only is he an asshole, he's also the whole ass. So
that part. I love harassing Lawrence.
Well, I mean, I have to appreciate him for, he's going to be himself.
Yeah.
And he just found a way to kind of market off of that as he's
being an arrogant ass.
Being an arrogant asshole. Yeah. So it's all good. I think it works.
He's gotten worse. When I met Lawrence, it was more than 5 years ago. Lawrence used to be a nice person. A little bit. He was slightly nice. The newness wore off. He was slightly nice. We went to lunch. We hung out a whole day just kicking it. And Lawrence was,
oh God, he was all right.
He was all right.
So you think a little level, I mean, but that's with anybody. Lawrence just naturally Lawrence. But I think when people are in this industry and they get a little bit more shine than they did the last go around, sometimes it could kind of pump that ego up a little bit.
I think Lawrence is being his true self.
I think so too. I think when he first began, that's his attitude. I really have to agree with drama on that one. That's just Lawrence. Oh, and as he always tells Steve, you on your way.
You on your way. I'm trying to tell you. And you got a line, your own brand of t-shirts that you do online. Let folks know about that t-shirt line.
So this shirt is, I was only selling it at Matita's Lopsided.
No, it was a shirt. Don't get, because Deacon in here. You know Deacon in here. Calm down.
But I have this shirt that I was only selling at shows, but I just had some printed up and I got them at home now. So I'm going to start just shipping them out when people want them. But I also have my line Gumbo. If you go to my website, it's in my, the link is in my bio on Instagram. And also the Instagram is in my bio on Instagram. You can go pick up some merch. It's aimed at women. It's called Gumbo because, and I spelled it like gum. Whole, like a hoe, H-E-A-U-X, because women are multifaceted. We are classy, we are sassy, we are nasty, we're intelligent, we can be anything. And my line is aimed at Black women, because I'm a Black woman, and that's who I love, that's who I am, that's who I represent. If you find something, you are of another persuasion, you are more than welcome to purchase. But most of the items there are geared toward women of the brown skin tone.
The melanin, baby.
Yes, melanin. So yes. That's why I started my brand. And I just wanted something where it could showcase both sides. Because I feel like we're taught as Black women to stifle ourselves beyond anything professional. And I think you should be allowed to be professional and be a whole a little bit. So yes. I have shirts that say Melanin Muse, because Melanin Muse, we are the prototype. All these women getting all this stuff, they're getting their lips done, their booties done, their titties done, they're getting everything done to look like us. So we what y'all want to be. Y'all want to be us when you grow up.
That part.
And then I have Black Women Sparkle, because we do. Look at this. I glow, baby. That brown, that sun hit it. It gets glowing. It's popping. And then I also have Pristine Pussy, because sometimes that pussy be popping and it's beautiful and it's amazing and you can't get enough of it. So,
Diggy, calm down.
I have Hustling Ho, because hoes we getting to the money.
That part.
Exactly.
Me and all my hoes honest. There you go.
But I got a bunch of different shirts with a bunch of different sayings. Whatever moves you, go and purchase that thing.
That's okay. What I'm talking about. Now y'all got to make sure, if y'all have not followed our girl Andromeda, it's @drama on Instagram. Any other platforms that they can find you at?
I'm on the TikToks.
I'm on the TikToks.
It is the One Act Drama. I don't know who got One Act Drama, but you an asshole for doing that. So it's the One Act Drama. I'm on Facebook. It's Andromeda Drama Jones. And do got all my edges. And do thick women.
Oh yeah, all the Black women right now y'all looking at got all the edges. I don't fuck around.
I can't be doing hair with no edges. How you trust a hairstylist with no edges? How I'm gonna tell you how to say your hair and I couldn't say mine.
That part. But you know who was it? Speaking of Lawrence, he had a reel up. By the girl bragging about her edges. I said, bitch, those ain't your edges. That's lace front, hoe. Stop playing with me. Those not, when you grown, you don't have baby hairs.
Oh, I'm on the Twitters. I'm on the Twitters as One Act Drama. Facebook is Andromeda Drama Jones. I'm gonna tell you right now. Don't try to add my goddamn personal page. The answer is no.
No. You sound like me.
Because y'all be finding me on Facebook and sending friend requests. Baby, you know me from IG. Stay your ass over there.
Over on IG where you belong.
Don't cross platforms. Stay on your side of the street where you pay rent. Don't come over here where I pay rent.
But you know, that's why I tell people when they be trying to follow me, I be like, no, follow the Gossip and Apples.
Yeah, this is not a personal call.
This is my page.
Boundaries.
I just got Rocky H2, so y'all know I do belong to the Gossip and Apples, but this is my personal. Go
away. Oh, let me tell y'all something. Because some of y'all be in my DM asking why I don't follow you. If your page is private, I'm going to let you keep your privacy. I'm not going to follow you. I respect your boundaries.
And see, you know what? I like my private because I get a shitload of foreigners requesting, people I don't know requesting. And if I didn't have that privacy up there, y'all be in my DMs and dick pics, and I don't want to be bothered with it.
No,
I like to go, when I get a friend request, I like to go to your page, see who you are, how many people we follow, and do I follow people that I talk to on a regular? Because if you just follow one person I don't really deal with, you don't need to follow me. I don't need to follow you.
This is true. Speaking of dick pics, y'all be a little weird in my comments. Y'all need to learn what's weird and what's not. Because y'all say stuff sometimes. I be wanting to block y'all.
Yes.
But I don't. I don't unless you get real out of hand. But some of y'all need to talk to the lady.
Yeah. I'm serious. But you know, I was just saying, because there was a time back in the day, whether they was a killer, a gangster, or a hoodlum, men knew the difference between a hoe, a woman. It's just like niggas just don't jail them all together.
Mush them all together.
So they feel like they can say whatever to whomever. No.
Well, some of it is they see the platform and they see who I'm around. So they like, I don't know if they think I won't see it or if they feel like, oh, she can take a joke. Sometimes y'all don't be funny though. Y'all don't.
That part.
Y'all don't be funny.
You know, this is the same discussion I have. Just because you are a comedian don't mean that I need to be coming to you with fucking jokes all day and playing with you all day. You are still a real person. That is what your career is, and that's what you do as for your career.
Right.
And stop telling me you got a joke for me. I don't give a fuck about your joke. Go tell the motherfucker.
You black nigga, I'm drunk. You're
funny. Go tell the motherfucker yourself. Stop trying to write jokes for me, baby. You can live it better than me anyway. Go tell that motherfucker yourself.
But you know what? When people assume, some my daddy always said, when you assume, you make an ass out yourself.
That part.
Oh, and stop coming to the show thinking you gonna get who you see on IG. I'm a whole new bitch on that stage.
That part. You at work.
I am at work. I am on 10 at work. I'm not finna be 10 in life. I'm just paying my bedtime right now. Y'all
girl, I understand
in person and coming up to me. Hey, let's do this. I don't like you.
And I don't know you.
I don't like you. I like you on IG. Stay over there where I like you at.
Girl, if you did not hit the nail on the head, sometimes when you do meet some people, I mean, we haven't had that experience, but if you meet somebody in reality that you've been kicking it with on Instagram as a whole different vibe.
No, I got people I don't want to meet. And I'm just being honest with you. It's like certain people, oh, I'll meet you. Yeah, you seem cool. Bitch, I don't want to meet you. I don't want you in my personal space.
Don't think the person that you see is friendly. I'm not friendly. I'm not friendly to y'all. I know y'all like, she's so nice. I am very nice, but I am not friendly. As a matter of fact, I'm really not nice. I'm kind. There is a difference.
There you go. There's a difference.
I am kind. I'm not nice. I don't be wanting to fuck with y'all for real.
You know like, what? You know what? Drama, I ain't even going to say I'm kind. I'm respectful. I try to be respectful. I try to be, you know, polite. But I tell people, me and Michelle are not social people like that.
Listen, my ex would tell anybody scream from the mountaintops. He don't care what time he call of day or night. I am right here in this goddamn house.
There you go.
I don't go nowhere. But people see me on stage or they see me on IG and they think I'm this big personality who want to party and turn up. Baby, I do these TikToks with no bottoms on. That's how bad I don't want to go nowhere.
That part. Don't ask me what I got on me.
I don't want to go nowhere with you. I don't want to go nowhere with me.
That part.
If where we going is going to cost me money and not make me money, don't goddamn invite me.
Don't.
Yes, I shall be thinking. I be weighing like if I get invited to a networking event, I'm like, okay, am I going to have the possibility of walking out of here with a contract, a new client, possibly another guest for the show? And if it ain't going to be none at all,
why am I here?
I don't feel like being bothered. I just don't.
I think people get confused with folks networking and like, because we all network. You networking with your comedian folks. You making appearances to keep yourself relevant and getting more shows. We do, but that don't mean I want to sit up and socialize and go kiki and hang out with your ass.
And don't be messaging me before a show tomorrow. I'm coming or I'm here. Dude, I don't give a fuck.
That part. When I see your ass in the audience, hey.
You're in my phone and you worry me with your presence. Baby, I didn't know you before you DM me. Talk to me after the show like a normal person.
That part.
Tell me you there. Thank you.
That's, you know, it just makes me wonder what is going on with people. Common sense is just not common.
See, y'all getting the real me right now because I've been wanting to get this off my chest.
I will go. This is the platform
I am
to do.
I'm an introvert to my core. I don't like having to deal with even that tycoon. The job they gave me was perfect for my little introvert self. Because the way this introvert thrives is I tell people what to do.
Right.
So in Tycoon, they had me telling celebrities what to do. You can't reply back to me. You don't get to reply. I said what the fuck I said. Because this is what the directions that was given to me by the
that
people.
Part.
So that's where I thrive. Don't give me no group work. I'm not doing it because that means I got to talk to y'all now. I don't want to talk to you in this group.
You notice how we kept it business and cut it short.
No, we didn't fuck with you while you was there.
I was like, do you think this is one thing I want y'all to understand. When we met Drama, it was very pleasant experience and we appreciate it. But at the same time, we wasn't going to be following Drama all over.
Where you going, Drama? 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 Let me text Drama. Where you at?
And y'all have at it because I'm finna go.
And that's what we did. that's what we did. And you know, Deacon said, well, at least you acknowledged me. But Deacon, like she said, you did it after the show.
After the show.
Yes. No, actually, I was fucking with him the whole show. I think I saw him before he even said anything. I think I saw him and realized who he was.
Yeah, yeah.
He was sitting right in the front. Oh, yeah, I drug him all night long. I had everybody calling him Freaky Deacon.
Oh, Deacon was there for it. Trust me.
Freaky Deacon don't care.
He was there for that.
Deacon said, I like women and you look good.
Yeah, we had a good time that night. And he'll tell you, I mess with the audience, but I have so much fun. I'm
hey, not spiritual.
I ain't calling nobody no bitch because I done seen comedians be like, bitch, that ain't how you do that. I like
nah, because that's how folks get ran up on stage, at least by me.
Yeah, right. And I get some people feel like that's a part of their vocabulary, but I try not to. If I call you a bitch, you probably did something to me. Like, most that likely. Part. But I try to have a good time because people come, like I said, the stage isn't therapy for me. I feel like people come to the show for therapy. So yeah. That's, I feel like in that moment, I'm a therapist. I'm here to make you laugh, forget yeah. whatever happened, that bald head bitch at your job that pissed you off. Your husband was, you find out he was with his side chick tonight and y'all supposed to be at the show together. Whatever it is. The bitch fucked up your order and gave you 5 nuggets instead of 6. Whatever yeah. it is, I am here to remedy that for this 15, 20 minutes I got you in my presence. So I don't want to pick on you and beat you down because the world be beating us down. You got their rent prices is beating us down. So
girl, how dare everything I, going up.
How dare I disrespect you when you done gave me some of your rent money to come see this show?
That
then, how dare I disrespect you? Because niggas ain't even there to see me. I'm on somebody else's shit. You don't even know. I'm a surprise on the show. You didn't even know I was going to be there. And I'm up here fucking with you. Bitch, you not even post. Your name ain't nowhere on this marquee. But you fucking with me. That's what I would say if I was a person in the audience. Bitch, get your name in lights before you fuck with me.
That part.
Be the person I'm paying to see before you come out here fucking with me.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's how I feel about it.
No, you got every right to feel that way.
So no, because I'll tell you personally, when I go to a show, I'm not there to be part of your show.
Right.
And I, you know, I have to tell motherfuckers sometimes when you online, nigga, I didn't buy a ticket for your show.
Well, we on IG socialize. If I can see you, you're going to be in the show, but it's going to be fun.
Exactly.
I'm going to talk about you in love. Like I'm going to say, I might say, man, you is beautiful and your titties is beautiful too. Like I'm going to say something to you.
And
I'm gonna say, I wish I had titties like that.
But see, you know, some comedians will do it where they trying to bash you. Say, would you say, girl? Thank you, girl.
You got nice friendly titties. My titties is mean and aggressive. They don't like that. You know, they don't be fucking with you. You got extra
titties.
I got extroverted titties. My titties ain't even come all the way out. Yours out here for the world. I want extrovert titties.
I call my titties ready for the world.
See, I got extroverted titties. They're not even all the way here. My titties be high. Oh, your titties is out. Your titties want to be seen. Your titties want to socialize.
Yeah, and I be telling them bitches, mind your business and go get quiet.
I want social titties.
Girl, no, you don't. I want introvert titties. Introvert titties, y'all can wear a whole... Do you know what it's like just being a double D, wearing a whole to bra?
Do you know what it's like being an A cup and don't even you want to wear a bra but you really don't need to because what the fuck? Do you know what it's like?
I would love to know what that shit feel like, girl. I'm jealous.
Do you know what it's like to take your bra off and then a man play with your titties like this?
She said like this.
Oh my god, girl.
No, you know what's irritating? You know when niggas do this here.
I would like my titties to be juggled. I want clown titties.
I'll be like, nigga, this is not the circus. My titties.
Now you got circus. I got circus peanut titties. I don't wear circus peanuts. I want clown juggle titties.
Girl, you know you don't give me an idea. I'm gonna get some clown on the red.
Oh
fuzzies.
God damn.
Little titty sticks.
Titty sticks?
Yeah, you know those titty stickers with the you know the clown fuzzy balls.
Okay, I'm good. I'm so good on that. What we gonna do? Because I know Miss Drama got her bedtime, and we got to go to some movie reviews. So y'all make sure y'all follow Miss Andromeda. This will not be the last time that you see Miss Andromeda with the heifers. We definitely love drama and we appreciate your presence, girl. You got any close out remarks for the people out here?
Hey man, y'all don't just just like my videos. Y'all got to comment so I can get in this algorithm shit and I can go viral. Because guess how people know about me? Y'all got to make me famous. I can't do this shit by myself. I'm giving you the content. I said 2023, I was going to blow y'all goddamn mind. And look at me every day. I be giving y'all shit. Comment. I don't care if you don't do nothing. Put a flame. Put a laughing emoji. Share my shit in your story. Please. Y'all, I can't be famous without y'all. I need y'all. If Lord, let your people share my reels. Let your people like and comment. Lord, just let your people just shine down the love on my IG, TikTok, and Facebook. Because I need them. I'm begging y'all. I don't beg.
Well, you know what?
Y'all are liking, and I appreciate the likes. Yeah. But I would much rather have 150 comments than 150 likes, because the comments
will
boost.
Yeah.
And when you share, I realize you might not want to share the one with me acting like I'm playing with my pussy. That's fine. That's a little X-ray. I went a little too far. I understand. I did a lot. That was a lot. That was a little
I'm sure for some of these men you ain't go too far, but I know I went thinking. I said, let me like all her stuff, because like I told you, I can see your reels on my Libra. But I can't see them on my Gossip and Heifer page.
So like and comment.
So I liked a lot of them today. I said, well, I'm gonna go back and comment. I was like, hey bitch, I'm here.
See, that's all I need. But
you I got you.
Put a period. I don't care what you put. Just put something that make Instagram say, oh, they fuck with her. Let me go on boost her shit some more so she can be famous. I can't be famous without y'all. If I get famous, then y'all in the ground floor. I might do a free show. No, I ain't gonna do
that. Yeah, there you go.
But won't be free.
Right. But I might do a little free. It'd be affordable.
Yeah, do a little Gossip and Heifer's meet and greet show or something. You know, y'all gotta help me be famous. I'm trying not to have to work no more.
Amen.
And y'all don't let me down.
No, we feel you. We feel you. That's the same thing we be trying to like y'all, like we be telling. When folks come in here, they don't realize when you on the YouTube, it's very important
for y'all to like it.
For the likes.
The comments and the subscriptions.
Yes.
So it's very important. That's needed. So make sure y'all support Drama, because she's been dropping some bomb ass reels right now. Y'all got to make sure y'all support her, follow her, share her shit. Share her shit and comment.
The first video that y'all get to go viral, I'ma do a video in a bikini.
Oh, hell, Deacon, calm down.
Well, you might as well call that a day, because whatever you just said, Deacon gonna make sure.
and some other Negroes up in here. Hey, Javante, yeah, they gonna be up in there.
All right, girl. Well, we appreciate Miss Andromeda, honey. Y'all make sure y'all give it up for Andromeda. Thank you, girl, for joining us.
Hercules.
We appreciate it. Make sure y'all follow, like, and share Andromeda, honey. Thanks, Swanny. Get your rest, and we're going to holler at you in these IG streets.
All right, y'all.
All right, God bless, girl.